See, somebody argues that how do we know that the Bhagavad Gita has not changed over the centuries? Yes, there is the historical analysis which we can do, and there is also the essential effect that we can see. So, the historical analysis means that if we consider Shankaracharya's commentary on the Gita. Shankaracharya was around 6th, 7th century. It's almost 1500 years ago. So generally speaking, there is a possibility of interpolation in books. Something may be added, something may be removed. But if some book is commented on, then the followers of that commentator, they preserve the book very carefully. And that way the book stays preserved. So in general, books that are very big to be commented on, say for example, some of the Puranas which are really very big and they don't have much commentaries, in them interpolation is much more likely. But Bhagavad Gita is a small book, 700 verses. It's not, there are many people, even now many people have memorized the Gita. In the past, many, many more people had memorized the Gita. So there's something which is not so big, it is easy to memorize and is very easy to catch interpolations also. So not only the shortness of the Gita, the brevity of the Gita, but also the fact that if we consider Shankara's Gita, which was 1500 years ago almost, that is the same as today's Gita. So we have Shankara's commentary, and now that commentary we have the verses also. So from the point of view of textual analysis, for a book to stay unchanged for 1500 years is itself very significant. Because so much can happen in 1500 years. So if 1500 years it is not changed, then if you look further back, that is the time when the traditional culture was even more there, before 1500 years. So at that time, when the, even now actually the sacred texts are not considered so sacred. But even now some amount of sanctity is there. You know, people put their hand on the Bhagavad Gita when they are supposed to give testimony in court. So there is that understanding, there is some truth associated with this. So in the past, that sense of sanctity was much more. So if in the last 1500 years nothing has been changed, then it's a reasonable inference to say that before that also, nothing must have been changed. So broadly speaking, from the historical, it's called not historical analysis, it's called historiographic analysis. The recording of history or recording of historical documents. From the point of historiographical analysis, the Gita is a very stable text. That's one point. But along with that, from the point of view of the essential effect, we can look at the conclusion of the Gita. And say, now, let's take another example to understand this. Say we purchase some medicine and it's supposed to cure fever. Now, can we know for sure that from the point where it was produced in the pharmaceutical production plant till the point it came to us, there was nothing counterfeit done with it? So many drugs which you know they are replaced with counterfeit drugs. So if before taking every medicine we decide I'll trace the route and find out where this medicine came from, then we'll probably die before we find out the route. We don't do that. What we see is, okay, this medicine is supposed to cure a person of fever, and I take the medicine. And if it cures me of fever, I understand, okay, it must be well preserved. If it doesn't cure me of fever, then I'll have to check. Is something wrong over here? So, same way, we can look at the Bhagavad Gita and its effect on the original student. And we can look at the Bhagavad Gita and its effect on today's practitioners of the Gita. What happened to Arjuna? See, the Bhagavad Gita is essentially about dharma. What I should do. And what we should do depends on our understanding of who we are and what life's purpose is. So the Bhagavad Gita talks about sadhan and sadhya. Sadhya, what is the goal and what is the means to that goal? Just like say if I'm here and I'm going to travel somewhere now. So I need to know where I'm going to go. And I need to know how I'm going to go. I'm going to walk there, I'm going to ride there, I'm going to fly there, whatever it is. So the destination and the means, the sadhya and sadhan, these two are what is to be decided. So in the Bhagavad Gita also these two questions are there. The sadhya, what is the, according to Bhagavad Gita, He says, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Arjuna says that, I understand the Sadhya is you, O Lord. You are the Supreme Absolute Truth. You are the God of all gods. You are the Supreme Brahman. Sadhya is Krishna. And what does Arjuna do after understanding the Bhagavad Gita? Karishye Vachanam Tava. Arjuna is not simply fighting because he is a fighter. Arjuna is actually doing what Krishna wants him to do. So Arjuna is being a devotee. As a devotee, Krishna is telling him to fight, so he is fighting. So Arjuna is, as far as the sadhana is concerned, he has adopted bhakti yoga. Krishna also told Arjuna, Maam ekam sharanam raja. And Arjuna says, yes, I will do it. Karishye vachanam tava. So the sadhya, from the perspective of, from the first person testimony of the original student of the Gita, is Krishna. And the sadhan, as seen from the action of the original student of the Gita, is bhakti. And we see today, thousands of years later, when people understand the Bhagavad Gita, what is the effect on them? Do they understand the sadhan to be Krishna, sadhya to be Krishna? See, people, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, people, thousands of people from all over the world have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And they have accepted Krishna as a sadhya. And then, what about the sadhan? They started practicing bhakti yoga. So same, if given up everything else, all the other conceptions of what they are meant to do, started practicing bhakti yoga. The same effect that was there on Arjuna, the original student of the Gita, it's the same effect we see today. So, we can go into historical analysis if that is our interest. But that is a historiographic analysis if that is our interest. But that's a long, laborious process. And even from that process also, the Gita is a remarkably stable text. A stable text. But more important, from the point of view of essential effect, the Gita, you know, our purpose is not just to have the literal text of the Gita. We want to have the literal text of the Gita. But the Gita is a guide for living primarily. And how it guided the original student of the Gita, if today it is able to guide us also, then that means the essential effect of the Gita is being achieved. That's how we can understand that the Gita's essential message is available today for us the same way as it was available for its original student. Okay? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.